week's Bible talk, titled Jesus Washes His Disciples' Feet, is on John 13. It was preached by Adam Ramsey, our Link missionary serving with CMS in Japan, and was given at Rabena on Sunday, the 2nd of October, 2022.
When I read this passage about Jesus and washing his disciples' feet, I've got to be honest with you, I don't have particularly strong feelings about it. Their feet are dirty and they've come inside and no one wants to make the house dirty. Someone's got to wash everyone's feet. It might as well be Jesus. In the pattern of all good servant leaders, of course, he's the one in charge, so he's going to wash their feet. Except that Peter is really offended by the whole thing. Maybe he didn't want anyone else to touch his feet. He was a bit sensitive about them. Maybe he stepped in something pretty nasty that day and he preferred to take care of it himself. But it's not either of those things. Jesus is Peter's teacher, and a teacher does not wash a disciple's feet. Well, I am a missionary. I've been in Japan for 7 years, and it may not surprise you to know that people in Japan think differently from people in Australia. I spoke to a Japanese Christian friend about this passage, and I talked about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and I said how in some churches that I've known, the minister washes the feet of the congregation members before Easter to symbolically remind them of what Jesus does for them. My friend was cross. She said, a minister should never do something like that. And it really got me thinking about this passage in John's Gospel. I've been thinking about it ever since. Why was my friend so angry? So what I want this morning is for us to better appreciate Jesus and to imitate him. So what does John 13 teach us about Jesus? The opening highlights three things: Jesus' love for his people, his authority over all things, and his faithfulness to God. This is how John wants us to understand what Jesus is about to do. Passover is approaching, and Jesus knows that the end of his earthly mission is near. It is common that when you're leaving, to distance yourself from those you love. We all do it. It is a way of protecting ourselves from the pain of loss. Jesus knew he was leaving, but his response was to keep on loving his people right to the end. In verse 1, it was just before the Passover festival. Sorry, and I'm reading from the NIV in my notes. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. But Jesus is not the kind of leader who abandons his followers when things get tough. We know from reading the whole gospel account that Jesus knows he will suffer and die for the sake of his people, but Jesus will not abandon them. This is in clear contrast to Judas, who is going to abandon Jesus. In verse 2, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And knowing someone who lived and worked with Jesus could betray him ought to remind us that not everyone who sits in church or calls themselves Christian is really one of God's people. Judas had come with Jesus, but he was going to leave with Satan. In contrast, Jesus in verse 3 had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus is faithful. Now, I don't think it's too hard for us to understand Jesus' love and faithfulness. It's probably what has attracted us to him in the first place. But we do need to hold them together with the third thing, which is Jesus' authority. In ancient times, you wore sandals and the streets were filthy. So when you entered a house, a servant or the lowest member of the group would wash everyone's feet. This is just the normal thing that people did. So why is Peter upset? Jesus is upsetting a system of hierarchy. Jesus is Lord of everything. The Bible calls him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is not Lord amongst Lords or King amongst Kings. He is the Lord of the other Lords, and he is the King of the other Kings. And everything we see and hear and smell and taste and touch belongs to him. And in verse 3 to 5, we read, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Australians tend to have a flat social structure. We respect our leaders, mostly, but we do not see them as fundamentally more important than us. Our leaders can wash dishes and sort rubbish. They can handle being told to get off the lawn. And in fact, rather than lower their status, it probably makes us respect them more because it shows they are like us. Whereas Japan is a bit different. It's important to know your place within the social hierarchy. The way you bow, the degree of your bow, and how you speak are all indications of your status compared to whoever you are speaking to. I enjoyed watching two of my friends meet. For the first time, they had to feel out each other's place, moving from ultra polite to polite to a more casual posture as they realized they were fairly equal. As a boy growing up on the Gold Coast, I remember that children would have said at church, Pastor Gregory, Pastor O'Connor. Times have changed. Now we just say Mike and Adam. In Japan, they often call the pastor sensei, which means teacher. And can you imagine talking to Mike or Adam like that? Teacher. Excuse me, teacher. Yes, teacher. Or you talk to others, you'd say, what is teacher talking about from the Bible today? When you have a big question in Japanese, especially speaking to someone who's above you, social hierarchy, you should ask them before you ask the question. You say, "Shitsumon shite ii desu ka?" Teacher, is it okay for me to ask you a question? But you guys don't say that. You just say, hey, Mike, what are the Bible readings for Sunday? Or when you talk to the elders at church, you wouldn't say, excuse me, elder. Yes, elder. Is this okay, elder? You might not even know who the elders are. But whenever our Japanese pastor talks to or about our elders in Japan, he says, sumimasen, choro. Excuse me, elder. In all our communications in Japan, we are constantly acknowledging each other's place in the social hierarchy. As Australians, when we read this passage, we might be tempted to say that Jesus puts aside or gives up his position of authority to be a servant, but this is not what the passage says. It says that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, so he got up from the meal and began to wash his disciples' feet. It is Jesus' knowledge that he is king of everything that leads him to wash his disciples' feet. In that society, Jesus can't wash his disciples' feet without giving up his status. He dishonors himself. He becomes dishonorable. Peter wants to protect the honor of his teacher. Peter wants to avoid the shame of having a teacher who acts like a servant. So he protests in verse 8, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus' response overturns Peter's expectation. In God's kingdom, those with authority are not served by the people they lead. Instead, those with authority use their position to serve others. In verse 8, Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Leadership and service are part and parcel in God's kingdom. When I asked another Japanese friend about all of this, their answer was surprising. They told me about the previous emperor of Japan. The emperor is the pastoral head of 126 million people. He's normally required to live apart from the people for purity reasons in the traditional religion, yet he regularly used his place of authority to comfort people in person, one-on-one. After the Great East Japan earthquake in 2011, the emperor of Japan went to affected areas to comfort people. People were greatly moved as the emperor knelt down to look them in the eyes, ask about their health, and rub their backs. The emperor did not put aside his emperorness to care for his people. The fact that he was the leader of the Japanese people made his compassion meaningful. And so how amazing is it that Jesus, the Lord of every person who ever lived, knelt on the floor below his people to serve them by washing their feet? If Jesus is Lord of all, who loves us and is faithful, we have to respond to what he says. We have to be washed. In verse 10, Jesus says, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." Reading about Judas should shake us a bit. This guy lived and ate with Jesus in the flesh. Surely he must be okay. And yet in the end, he wasn't with Jesus. So let's examine ourselves. Do I know Jesus? Have I accepted the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ? Has Jesus' work, his death and resurrection, changed me? Don't be caught out when it's too late. We can sit in church our whole lives and think everything is okay. But it's not okay if we are not one of God's people. So let's make sure that we know Jesus, that we are saved by his work. If you haven't heard the good news about Jesus, talk to someone after the service. We would love to talk to you. You can talk to me, or you can talk to Adam or Mike, or there's actually lots and lots of people here who would love to talk to you about that afterwards. And if you have heard the good news, but you haven't accepted Jesus personally, then again, we would love to talk to you afterwards. Well, second, let's imitate Jesus. As Jesus himself says in verse 14, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." This is not the institution of a special foot washing ritual. We don't need to over-spiritualize it and say that, you know, we wash each other's feet to make each other more holy. Jesus is just cleaning their feet so they can eat dinner. And he's taking the opportunity to teach his disciples what it means to follow him. It's an illustration. It's about the kind of people we need to be. Jesus is saying, we need to be people who serve each other, who look after each other, who get our hands dirty for others, people who focus on being like Christ and our place in his kingdom rather than our worldly status. So how do we imitate Jesus? What kind of people should we be? As we lead others inside or outside the church, whatever your work is or whatever you're doing, let's be sure our leadership is founded in the love and the faithfulness of Christ. If you are self-serving, if you use your position for personal gain at the expense of others, that's not okay. If you distance yourself from those you serve, if you see others as an annoyance, obstacles in the way, or just as tools for achieving your vision, your leadership has gone wrong. Service might require us to accept status and use it well. When I first started in ministry, doing lay ministry at Tambourine Mountain Church, I was really shocked when I realized that people were listening to me and taking the things that I said seriously. They were applying the things I said to their lives. And I was like 23 at the time, so I felt really uncomfortable. But the answer wasn't to run away or to try and talk myself down. It was to take that calling seriously, accept the status, and just do a good job. And I've been through the same thing similarly in Japan. They want to give me a title, the cooperating teacher. They love titles, and this one gives me a bit of status. But again, I just feel comfortable. I feel uncomfortable about it in my gut. Helene said, "I guess you're still Australian then." But again, the answer wasn't to shrink away from accepting the title. The answer was to agree that I'll accept the title when the time comes and to use my status well. For all of God's people, we have status in God's kingdom, and it should lead us to serve others. God's people really have high status in his kingdom. Paul even says in his first letter to the church in Corinth, "Do you not know that we will judge angels?" It's really easy for us to take our status in God's kingdom, though, and expect things from the world. We demand a place in politics, in public discussion. We expect to be heard. We expect society to become like us so that we can feel comfortable. But that is not like Jesus. Jesus came from heaven, God's perfect place. He became like us, he took on discomfort, and was surrounded by the filth of this world. When the time came, he got down and washed his disciples' feet. He demanded nothing, but he died on the cross to save us, even to save his enemies. As Jesus himself says in the passage, verse 15 to 17, I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Jesus calls us to use our kingdom status to serve others. We might lose our worldly status, but we will never have to fear losing our kingdom status. And because our kingdom status is secure, we can serve others freely. Now, I'm a missionary, so I obviously think about cross-cultural ministry. I'll tell you to consider serving a people group that you will never meet. You can fill out our card and get our newsletter and pray for Japanese people. You can support a missionary financially. And you can be praying, giving generously, caring for missionaries. You might even consider going as a missionary to someone that you don't yet know but have a passion for. But even there's a lot of Japanese people that live on the Gold Coast. Just about every time that we go to one of the big parks, we see a group of Japanese moms together with their kids playing. I even rescued one of them the other day from the spinny thing when they fell off. It's okay to like hold other people's children in Japan, so it was fine, don't worry. But usually our service is in small things, just locally, even in Japan. Our normal service is just small stuff that we do. Put your hand up when there's a need. Make a meal for someone who is struggling. Offer to babysit for tired parents. Offer to help someone move house. Care for someone when they are sick or injured. Or at home, help out around the house with whatever needs doing. There's more small things like that we can think of. We also might keep listening to people who never seem to get their life together. Or keep loving someone who lets you down and forgive them. Or just ask someone, how are you doing? And listen. You don't need to be the one that fixes the problems. It's not about you trying to be the one who has the answers. You just have to be quiet and listen. Some service is more costly. We might have to go against the status quo. We might be called to serve people whom others despise. And because they see us with those people, they will despise us too. There's that feeling that you get inside when someone starts talking to you and you're so embarrassed that you just sort of think, I wish this person would go away. What kind of person were you thinking of? That's the kind of person that Jesus is asking you to serve. If Jesus went all the way to the cross and suffered for me, then I can suffer for someone else. As we serve others, we will notice ourselves becoming more like Jesus until serving others becomes a reflex that you do without thinking. It is natural and it brings you joy. People will begin to see Jesus at work in your life and want to know him. In verse 20, Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. By doing these things in imitation of Jesus, and when you faithfully share the good news of Jesus to others in love, you will be showing people what Jesus is like. Through your witness, those people may accept Jesus, and that is what we want. That is ultimately the service that Jesus calls us to. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord and Savior, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming to live amongst us, to share in the mess and filth of this world, to serve us by rescuing us from sin and death. I pray you would be working within our hearts to know you, to accept the love with which you have loved us, so that we might be saved and live with you in your perfect place. We thank you for your faithfulness. Despite the problems of this world, despite our unfaithfulness to you, you have never abandoned us. You were faithful in your mission to save us through your own death on the cross. Help us to have faith and maintain our faith until the end. I ask that you teach us to imitate you, to love others in service as you loved us. Change us that we would become people who find joy in serving others, even when our service is costly. I ask that you work through us as witnesses to what you have done in us, that others might see and want to know you, our God. Help us to have the words to share with them the good news of your salvation. And I pray that when we share your good news faithfully, those who hear it would believe. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.